God is a good God, and I just appreciate the privilege of being able to minister on his behalf. And this morning, I count it an honor to be here with you all, and trust that what I have to share today will help you in the brand new season that God has just brought us into. God is always working in his seasons, in his timing, and we need to make sure we are right in tune with what God is doing, what God is saying, because we're living in unusual times. You'll have to agree. So it's great to be with you this morning. Why don't you smile at a couple of people before you sit down and say, great to see you here this morning. I'd like to welcome all of those people that are watching online. Great to have you joining in with us today as well. Change is something that we have to learn to navigate. As change comes to all of us, there's always things that are happening that we didn't expect to come into our life. At the beginning of last year, nobody expected that we'd be walking in a pandemic. But we've done it, we've walked through it, we've been very fortunate here in Western Australia to be really in a place where we've been protected by God. I'm the National Pastoral Coordinator for Victory Life Centre, and so I talk to pastors across the nations, and across, especially across the nation of Australia, and they've been not in service for months and months and months. So we're very, very privileged here in Perth in Western Australia to be able to worship God the way we do. If you were born before 1945, and I don't think there's probably anybody here that's born before 1945. You were, sir? So that means you were born before television. That means you were born before penicillin, polio shots, frozen food, Xerox, plastic, contact lenses, credit cards, pantyhose, and the pill. So all of those things were not in existence prior to 1945. So a lot of things have changed since then, and not all of them have been good. But whether we like it or not, things change. It's inevitable and unavoidable that change comes into our life. If we think about it, without change, life would be pretty boring, pretty dull, if we didn't have change in our lives. Change is a necessary part of life. It's essential to our growth. I like what a famous inventor once said, the world hates change, yet it's the only thing that's brought progress into our life. Isn't that true? So the season has changed. It's going to be a significant season that we have just entered into, where people will see their destiny unfold before their lives. It's a season where we are to open wide our mouth and declare God's word and declare his goodness and declare what he says to those people that are around us. God has a calendar. His calendar centers around the feasts that we read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament. We think, you know, what does that have to do with me? But this calendar God entrusted to the Jewish people. So in the year just beginning, 5782, which began on the 6th of September, we have moved into a significant period of time on God's calendar. The previous decade was one of where we were seeing, where God was encouraging us to see the things of God, but we've entered into a decade now where our mouth is to be the key. You know, you can be the prophet of your own destiny. Whatever you're speaking out of your mouth will take you somewhere. It'll either take you in a negative direction or in a positive direction with the Holy Spirit. We are to be like the children of Issachar, who understand and know the times that we are living in. We are not to be ignorant as God's people of the times that we are living in right now. Today, we have the Holy Spirit who enables us to see and to hear what is on heaven's agenda at this time. The year 5782, and most of you will not be familiar about the Jewish calendar or the Jewish year, but it starts in September every year. Starts at various dates according to the lunar cycle. And God entrusted that calendar to them. And this season that we've entered into is a season of rest, it's a season of release, and it's a season of revival or breakthrough in our lives. It's a season where God wants to actually come and live amongst his people, a time of habitation, a time where he lives in the midst of his people, so that when we gather together like this, we should be expecting the Holy Spirit to break out in our midst. We should be expecting revival to come forth. We should be expecting a tremendous breakthrough to take place in our lives. This year is a year like no other because in the Jewish calendar, it is what we call a Shemitah year, which has nothing to do with us as Gentiles, but in the Jewish culture, in their agricultural field, every seventh year they were to rest the field from growing crops. So they didn't plow it, they didn't sow seed, but they used it just to thank God for what he had given them. We need to understand God not only has a covenant with his people, he has a covenant with the land. And so God expected his people, Israel, to follow this trend or this way of living that he had given them. And he said, if you trust me, in the sixth year, I'll supply three times as much as you need so that it'll get you through that Shemitah year and bring you out till you start to sow crops again. And there are powerful testimonies that when Israel came back into the land at the time in 1948, the first Shemitah year that some of the farmers were growing some of their crops, they didn't have any seed because it only just arrived back in Israel. So one of the farmers wanted to make sure that he observed the Shemitah year that was coming. So he needed to find some seed in the sixth year. And so he ended up finding some seed in an old warehouse, which had, by this time had mold on it because it had been there for so long. And the guy said, you can have it. Take what you need. So he sowed the seed, and while everybody else was not preparing for that year, he was the only farmer who had a bumper harvest that year, even though it was moldy seed, because he observed what God wanted him to observe. And that's how we should be with our finances, observing what God says when it comes to tithes and offerings in our life. Psalm 81 verse 10 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. God brought us out of our old life. He says and encourages us as his people, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Not with food, but with his word. He wants us to understand that we should not sorrow, as it says in Nehemiah 8:10, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy comes to break through every yoke, every bondage, every circumstance, every situation that comes into our life. And God comes to strengthen us with joy, and breakthrough begins with your mouth rather than anything else in your life. The anointing is for breakthrough. As we go through this morning, I'm going to encourage you to make some faith statements for this new season that we've arrived in. So, would you repeat after me? Is that okay? I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I will overcome internal and external opposition by God's power. Amen. So in him we are mighty. God allows us to come into a relationship with Him. And at this time in your life and the season we have entered into as the Church of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, as the Word says, it's a day to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Jesus said, what is stored up in your heart is revealed through your mouth. David said in the Psalms, I hid your word in my heart that I should not sin against you. We need to be storing up the word of God in our life. This is not a time to be reading the word of God and studying the word of God and meditating on the word of God less. This is a time to be investing in the word of God more and more in your life. He said to Joshua, meditate on my word day and night if you want to have good success. If you want to prosper in your life, you have to meditate day and night in my word. A foundation of God's word needs to be laid inside of you. And the reason it needs to be laid inside of you is because we live in a day of deception. We live in a day that was prophesied by Jesus, that when it was time for him to think about starting to come back, it would be a great day of deception. And we need to have a strong foundation laid inside of us of the Word of God. I've been meditating on this verse of Scripture for some months. It's a very short verse of Scripture in Psalm 11, verse 3. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are no good, what can you as a righteous believer do? Another version says. Foundations in our life are very, very important. Foundations in a building are important. Jesus talked about foundations, that if you build your life upon the rock of his word, by hearing what he says and obeying what he says, you're like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. But if you are, the Amplified says, a stupid, foolish man who hears and does not obey what Jesus says, what the word says, is like the man who builds his house upon the sand. And Jesus said, the storms come to everybody. I mean, the pandemic came to the whole world. That storm came to many, many people. And to many, many Christians. And it didn't take much to keep them out of church. The pandemic lasted a few months. People were watching it online. And sad to say, many of them never came back to church. You see, our foundations are so important in the day that we are living in, because if they are destroyed, the Bible says, what can you as a righteous believer do? Your life will not stand without foundations. Paul, who is discipling an emerging young apostle, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says to him, but the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. So many, it says, in the days that we are living in, are going to turn away from the faith. At Hill City Church, I don't want to see anybody turning away from the faith. So it's important that you are building strong foundation in your life with the Word of God. Because the enemy has unleashed and loosed spirits of seduction to draw away people from the faith. We have gone through a season of great pressure and pressing and testing to see what is in us. But now we are coming into a season of destiny being fulfilled. For those who will continue to build a strong foundation, breakthrough is coming into your life. A great example of someone who was able to go through changes and still be looking for the reality of his dream was Joseph. Not this Joseph, but the Joseph in the Bible. I'm sure you can learn a lot from this Joseph as well. Joseph only had two dreams, but they were the dreams of God for his life. They were foundational. We need to understand that Joseph didn't have a Bible. Joseph didn't meet in church every day or every Sunday like we do. He didn't have people encouraging him. Instead, he had people discouraging him. He shared his dream with his family about, you know, how they would all bow down to him. And you can imagine, you know, who's this young upstart who tells us we're going to be bowing down to him. However, through all the transitional seasons of Joseph's life, the changes in his life, he was getting closer to his breakthrough. So I want to encourage you, it is a foundational season, time to be building foundations stronger in your life. We should be building with the storm in mind. That's what Jesus said to do. To build your life upon the rock of his word, because the storm will come. How many people have noticed storms come? I'm not talking about rainstorms. I'm talking about storms that come into your relationships. They come into your finances. They come into your world, into your business, into your workplace. Storms, they come. The nation of Israel was a nation, as I said, that were commanded every 7 years to keep the Shemitah year. Well, you see, to have a strong foundation, you have to hear what God says and then obey what God says. So Israel did not keep the Shemitah year. And they ended up in exile. And we see this exile in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 12. We love to quote verse 11. God does have a purpose and plan for our life. But look what the Lord says. He sends a prophet. Breakthrough comes from knowledge from God that takes you past the point of resistance. And sometimes we are resisting what God says. We don't understand, why am I in this situation? And Israel could not understand, why are they in exile? And so in Jeremiah 29:10 it says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. It's very important, people of God, to not only to read the Word of God, but study it. Meditate upon it. Let it become revelation inside of you, become foundational inside of your life. You're going to need it. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom today, but storms will come, just like the pandemic. And there'll be others that come, because we're living in the time of the end, as the Bible says. David was a great king of Israel. And the Philistines heard that David was anointed king. You know, when the devil finds out you're anointed to lead worship, you're anointed to take up the offering, you're anointed to teach children in children's church. You're anointed for various things. It seems like when the devil hears that you're anointed, he comes looking for you. Just like David was anointed king, the Philistines came looking for David. And so it says in 2 Samuel 5, verse 17 through 20, that David inquired of the Lord. It's always a good idea to inquire of the Lord when the devil comes looking for you, when a storm arrives in your life, when circumstances and situations turn up in your life. It's always good to inquire of the Lord. He says, shall I go up against the Philistines? He didn't just think because he was victorious before, he would be victorious this time. He wanted to know, should I be doing this? Should I be going up against this enemy? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Our God is the Lord of great breakthrough. Tell the person next to you, God, your God is a God of great breakthrough. So we're transitioning from one season to another, which means change. And change is often difficult. And Joseph, even though it was difficult, continued to trust God with the dreams that God had given him. You ask all the questions when the storm arrives, saying, God, I've prayed, I've tithed, I've given. So what's going on, God? Why am I in this situation? I'm here to tell you, God will never turn his back on you. He will never turn away from you for two good reasons that we find in 1 Samuel 12, verse 22. For the Lord your God will not forsake his people. Let me read that again. For the Lord will not forsake his people. For his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. So there's two reasons he won't forsake you: because of his name and because he's your father. You are his people. You may be in a place of transition or a place of change. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't survive transition and change. They quit. But I'm here to encourage you not to quit in a time of change. We've had to do church a lot differently through the COVID period, and we may have to do it differently even further on. I don't know. But we need to be building a foundation in our life that we will not be shaken. We're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else will be shaken, but the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. So many don't survive the change. They resist the change. They want to stay where they are. But God is always wanting to prosper us. Beloved, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The word prosper there means to advance, to increase, to thrust forward. So God is always wanting to move you forward. He doesn't want you to remain where you are. He's invested a whole lot so that you could advance, so that you could progress, so that you could prosper in your life. He invested his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could. Because people want to stay where they are, they don't ever experience the breakthrough that they are so desperately looking for. So Hill City Church, you're going to have to advance. God wants you to advance. He wants you to increase. Let me give you a definition for breakthrough. Breakthrough is a sudden burst of knowledge that takes you past the point of resistance in your life. And we are to receive it first internally before we can see it externally. The knowledge, the revelation that God speaks to you has to be in here as a foundation before we can experience the breakthrough of it externally. So let's make a statement of faith right now. You know, when God redeemed Israel or took Israel out of Egypt, that was a picture of great breakthrough. They'd been in that place for a long time, but all of a sudden, here comes Moses with the word of the Lord. I'm taking you out of here. So breakthrough means to burst through the box or the place of confinement. So would you just make this faith statement with me this morning? I'm going to break out and break through my limitations. I think we should say that one more time. I'm going to break out and break through my limitations. If you focus on your limitations, you're going to lose. But we're going to focus on what God has said to us. I'll never forsake you. Because of my great name and because I'm your father, I won't abandon you. The last decade was the decade of the I, according to the Jewish calendar and the Hebrew language. It was a decade to be able to see differently. Jesus talked about our eye. Our eye can be good and our eye can be bad. If our eye is bad, it's pessimistic, it's negative, it keeps us in Egypt. But if our eye is good, it sees blessing, it sees good, and it takes us to a place of promise. God has a place of promise for every person in this building this morning. And He wants you to arrive at that promise, that place of your destiny and your purpose. So breakthrough begins with our thinking. If we see right before, then you can speak right. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We've got to get our thinking right. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. If you see yourself as unworthy, when He's already made you worthy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then your thinking is wrong and it needs to be adjusted. It's adjusted through the Word of God. The spies, when they went in to see what the promise of God was like, the spies, 10 of them said, it's good, but your big butt will rob you of your breakthrough. And I'll talk about this butt. Well, I know God loves me, but. Well, I know God wants to bless me, but. You've got to get your big butt out of the way. Their bad eyesight led to bad thinking, which led to their mouth speaking a bad report. So when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God, you can't go by what you see in the natural. You have to go by what you see with your inner man. Insight, if you like. The sight of your spirit man needs to come to the forefront in a pandemic. What do you see with the eye of faith? There were two men who had a different perspective, a different spirit. They saw with the good eye, if you like. They saw the giants too, but they said they are but bread for us. They saw with the capacity of God, with the foundation of God that was built on the inside of them. God will empower us to break through, they said. And even when they came into the promised land, Caleb, at the age of 85, said, "Give me my mountain." And there were giants there. He was still looking for his promise at 85. Right seeing means right speaking. And you know, your mouth creates your world. So you've got to be careful about what you're speaking. It only needs two to come into agreement. There's a power in agreement. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Remember, he's your Father. So often pain blurs our vision. We can't see good because we're hurt. It's not diminishing that your pain is real. But we have to be able, even in the times of pain in our life, begin to see as God sees. Because hurt does affect our vision, which, if we're not careful, will affect our speech. When you're hurt and crushed, you can't go by what your eyes see. They're not going to be the key to your breakthrough. Your mouth is. You have to be careful what you say. Just tell the person next to you, just be careful about what you say. So we have to be more dependent upon our mouth than our eyes in a stormy type of environment. The psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 2, "To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Love is light. You'll notice even in the dark there of night, even when I can't see, I will declare your faithfulness. You can't see in the dark. And often we can't see our way out of the situation we're in, out of the darkness that we're in. But we can speak our way out of it through the Word of God. When you can't see the hand of God, declare the heart of God. The heart of God is found in His Word. And His heart is faithfulness to your life. Do you know the Bible you hold in your hand is the mind of God? It's the will of God. And when you start declaring the mind of God and the will of God over your situation, by His stripes, Stephen is healed. Put your name in there. Praise breaks through to who God is in your life. Prayer breaks through and leads to the blessing of God in your life. That's why it's important to pray together. Jacob was a great example to us of not letting go in a time of trouble. He's heading back to his brother, whom he's robbed of the birthright and robbed of the blessing. I mean, this guy has pulled out every trick in the book to get what he wants. But then he was at the end of that through his uncle Laban. Woke up, thought he was going to be sleeping next to Rachel after the wedding, and he's sleeping next to Leah. I love what Hosea says about Jacob in Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. It says, "He took his brother by the heel in their mother's womb, and in the strength of his manhood, he contended and had power with God. Yes, he had power over the angel of the Lord and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met him in Bethel, and there God spoke with him and through him with us. God spoke to us through that situation. What did he speak to us? Don't let go of God until you get your breakthrough. Even the Lord God of hosts, the name of him who spoke with Jacob, is the Lord. The New King James says, the Lord is his memorable name. He's got a name that we can't forget. I mean, can you imagine? This is Jacob. He's wrestling with whom he realizes later as he's wrestling is God. And God says, let go. He says, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. So God gives him a slap on the hip and puts his hip out of joint. If you've ever had your hip out of joint, of a, you know, situation happening sometime now and then in this hip, you know, you experience the pain. Jacob was in excruciating pain with this hip out of its socket. Yet even though he's going through this pain, he says, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Until you pronounce a benediction. That's what that word bless there means. Until you pronounce a benediction on my old life. In other words, that's the end of the old Jacob. The Bible says because Jacob would not let go, he received his breakthrough. And he went from being Jacob, a supplanter, to being a prince with God, Israel. Make this faith statement with me. No one will rob me of my breakthrough and my blessing. Let's say it all together. No one will rob me of my breakthrough and my blessing. No one. The word of God is a foundation. God, I will not let go of your word. Your word says this. The flesh, the enemy, and the world will fight against your breakthrough. They'll try and stop it. Your relatives will try and stop it. Your husband may try and stop it. Your wife may try and stop it. Your boss may try and stop it. But nothing can stop it except you and what comes out of your mouth. Another faith statement. All my trials and afflictions will lead me to my breakthrough. All my trials and afflictions will lead me to my breakthrough. And the process of getting there is change. We should not judge victory by the victory itself. We should judge it by the process it took to get to that victory. A lot of people admire somebody when they've had their breakthrough. But don't admire the victory. Ask that person, what did you have to go through to get your victory? What was the process of it? Because the Bible says of God, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. So let me give you some keys as we close today. Some keys to navigate change. In Genesis 37, verse 5 and verse 9, it says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Number one, you have to know it is God who is leading you through the process. You have to know God is leading you through the process, even if it's uncomfortable. God's leading you. You don't quit because God is the one bringing you there. You know, Israel wasted a whole lot of time moaning and complaining about where they were in exile until Jeremiah turned up and said, just get used to it. You're here for 70 years. Build your houses. Get married. Pray for the peace of this place because you're going to be here for 70 years. The psalmist says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth in each of these situations. Secondly, be willing to commit to the process. Submit to it. Said to Israel, build houses. Don't complain, but submit to it. Joseph had to submit to every season he went through, whether it was the pit or the palace or the prison. He had to submit to each one of those seasons. If you find yourself in a rip or in a current in the water, the worst thing you can do is swim against the current. A lot of people try to do that and drown. You've just got to go with the current or swim across it. A little key for you there. Number three, be willing to connect to the vision of the new season. Joseph connected with what God wanted in each season of his life, which ended up making him a great prime minister. Joseph was appropriately dressed for every new season. Number four, you must be willing to build different relationships where you are. Build different relationships where you are. Wherever Joseph was, he built relationship. He gained favor with people where he was until they announced his name. God will give you a butler to open your door. They can be the force that releases the breakthrough in your life. Relationships. God is a God of relationship. When Paul was on the Damascus Road and experienced his being knocked off the horse, it was other people that brought him to his destiny. They had to lead him into the city. Ananias had to come. Barnabas came into his life and brought about that change of season for his life. And number five, the last one, be willing to pursue success even in the midst of difficulty. Be willing to pursue success even in the midst of difficulty. Remember, David inquired of the Lord when the Philistines came. Joseph looked for success and was given it by God in the seasons, and it changed his life. Let me read a couple of verses about Joseph as we finish. Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3 says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave, was successful and a prosperous man. Even though he was a slave, God blessed him. God prospered him. His master saw that he was with him, and that he had success in his hand. Again, when Joseph ended up in prison because of false accusation, it says in Genesis 39, 21, it says, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor in the sight of the warden. And at the end of verse 23, it says, the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. In prison, he was put in charge of the prisoners. And it was there he learned to interpret the dreams of other people. You know, while you're waiting for your dream to come to pass, help other people arrive at their dreams. While Mary was waiting for the birth of the Savior, which we're going to celebrate, you know, in a few short weeks, she served her cousin Elizabeth who was already pregnant with John the Baptist. The key to birthing a miracle in your own life is serving the miracle in somebody else's. And finally, Joseph says, God sent me ahead of you in Genesis 45, verses 5 to 8, to preserve life. You thought it was the end of me. You thought you'd got rid of me. But God sent me before you to preserve you for a posterity and to continue a remnant on the earth, to save your lives by great escape and to save you from many survivors. It wasn't you who sent me here, but God. I mean, what maturity Joseph had in his life. He's endured so much. He's endured rejection from his family. He's endured false accusation. He's endured people forgetting about him in prison after he helped them. But in the end, God saw that he hung on to the dream. And eventually, he got his breakthrough. Will you hang on to God's word? Will you hang on to what God has said about your situation until you see your breakthrough? Or will you quit? Will you give up? This is not a time to give up. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, many will depart from the faith, but not here. Turn to the person next to you and say, not you. Not you. Father, we thank you for your word today.